Hello, this is Jeff Rittner, and welcome back to Rittner Reflections, a forum to address the dynamic, complex, and essential nature of cross-border trade in our ever-changing world today. Today is March 19th, and this is day two of my special three-part episode where we will enjoy real-time daily report outs, analysis, and insights from three export control experts who are attending the Bureau of Industry's annual update conference on export controls and policy this week in Washington, D.C. Today, I have Julie with me to start, and others will join soon. But welcome back, Julie. Thank you for carving out some time. I know you're busy at the conference there. Yesterday, we heard that the conference kind of got off to a slow start. And so I'm wondering, how's it going today? Has it picked up? And how's the vibe and the atmosphere and the conference going today?
Yeah, I would say today started off a little more structured. Kevin Curlin talked to us in the introductory session this morning, followed by Jason Sonderman for our afternoon session. And they were a little more thorough than what actually happened yesterday. Yesterday, we were supposed to have a keynote speaker at lunch, and that didn't happen. But after the morning session with Kevin Curlin, we went into, well, what I found was interesting is they asked us to actually let them know what sessions that we wanted to participate in. We found out later on that one of the four sessions was actually eliminated, and it was the artificial intelligence session. So I think a lot of people were interested in attending that one, but it was canceled. So everybody ended up going into the effectiveness on the, I think it was called the effectiveness of the excessive acts or something like that. Anyways, it was conveyed by Kevin Cohen by the Office of Technology and Evaluations Division. So that was a pretty good session. It was kind of overloaded because it was, you know, the backfill of the AI session. So it was a very informative though. And then at lunch, we did have, I think, Ann Bryce. She kind of, you know, asked everybody what sessions they wanted to attend in the afternoon. But for the most part, I think most of the stuff that they're putting out, so the in-use and in-user controls session, that felt more like a filler session because they were basically just putting out just the regulatory information that was out there. Yesterday in the semiconductor controls session, we really thought that they were going to touch on the AI diffusion rule some, but they elected not to do that. So, but for the most part, I think there's a lot of information that is still questionable, and you can tell in the vibe of the conference that that they're a little reluctant to answer questions and go into further detail about certain topics. So you can tell they're in a transition period right now.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine that. So, I mean, some of the players aren't in place. There's probably a desire to relook at what was actually put out there under the Biden administration and maybe put their own mark on it. So I could imagine they're hesitant to say too much. I am interested, though, Julie, in Kevin Curlin. Now, Kevin Curlin has been at the agency for a very long time. He most recently spent quite a bit of time in the export enforcement area, and now he's kind of taken over Matt Bormann's role. And I'm just curious, you said he spoke as a keynote. Anything from Kevin that, you know, he's not like the Politico, right, that came in the administration. He's really a BIS in place. Anything you picked up from Kevin and how he's kind of approaching this?
I mean, in the message that he conveyed, it was basically that they had made a lot of progress in the past, and they continue. They are going to assume the same type of progress moving forward in the future. So that was the message that I got from him, that their intent is to stay on the same path. I mean, industry knows that there may be a pivot just because everyone is not in place. So it's yet to be seen.
Right. Yeah. I think that seems to be the key theme I'm hearing is let's wait and see what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kevin also has, he's come out of enforcement, and I think you mentioned that they had an discussion by enforcement. I think was it John Sonderman, I think. Any surprises, any ahas, anything from the enforcement side that you heard?
Not really.
Yeah.
We just got out of our enforcement session. So, of course,
Okay.
they always go over all the cases that they
Yeah.
prosecuted in the last year. They do emphasize some that, their intent is to pick up on enforcement, but I think that's pretty normal. They always, the intent is always to increase enforcement efforts. Yeah, for the most part, it's all pretty it's pretty much the same
Routine.
information, yeah, until the transition and other people get in place. Everybody is in an acting position right now. So everybody that's being introduced, so that, Anne Bryce is acting,
Acting.
and I think this last guy, he was acting. So everybody's in an acting role until everything is firmed up. But yeah, for the most part, you can tell it's a transition period right now. And one of the questions I raised with one of the regulators, which was a policy person yesterday, was if you guys are putting out all this information and basically everything is all of the information is based on the past, what we've learned in the past regs. If there is a change, then how are we supposed to strategize as an industry? Especially if this next administration chooses to walk back on some of those regulations. And the message from that person was, everything is still up in the air, and you're right. It's hard to strategize in this environment, I mean, from my perspective, we get flow downs from customers and suppliers and things of that nature. So it's hard for us to strategize based upon an uncertain environment that we're dealing with right now.
That's funny that you use that word uncertain, because that's kind of been my theme of this year, is this we're living in this time of uncertainty, and everybody wants certainty. Everybody wants to know, because you're right, you cannot strategize, you cannot plan, you cannot really, accomplish what you need to all the way through the chain, right? Through your suppliers and so on, if you don't know what's coming. And I think that's probably the most difficult part of this. And so what I'm hearing you say from your experience on the ground there, it feels like we're still in that period of uncertainty. We just don't know what might be around the corner and what they might be thinking. And maybe, as you say, maybe they don't even know what they themselves might not even know what.
And that's the perception that I get is that they are sitting in these uncertain positions, right? Some of them don't even know if they're going to be around, because some are choosing to opt out and go ahead with retirement, and some might be shifting to other positions. So everything is just kind of in limbo right now.
Wow, that makes it hard. I was curious, lunch, did you get us you said you had a speaker today at lunch. Who was that again? Was that enforcement, or who was at lunch?
Lunch was Kevin Kerlin.
Oh,
No,
Kevin
it
was
was
lunch.
Sonderman maybe at lunch. Who was at lunch today? Yeah. It was Sonderman.
Well, maybe what more importantly, what did you have for lunch? Was it good?
It's the typical conference meals, salmon and rubber
Chicken.
chicken.
That's what I would have expected. Some things don't change. Some things you can be certain of, and that might be one of them.
Exactly. There is certainty in the meals. That's
Yes.
true.
So we can probably expect tonight's or what do they call it? The networking reception probably won't be the same. What do they normally serve? I forget. They have guacamole, and
A buffet style
I don't know.
something usually. But yeah. So one of the big questions that we're trying to nail down right now is this whole AI, artificial intelligence. I know the advanced chip integrated circuit designers list, that approved list. So I've been raising, because there's been a lot of people that have had questions about how people actually got on this list and how do you get on the list and what's the criteria for being on the list. If you do have, you know, ICs that fall under the provisions of the advanced chips, or if you don't have ICs that fall under the provisions of the advanced chips, do you still need to be on the list? So those are questions that I've been posing to these regulators, because there's a lot of foundries and OSATs that are standing up protocols, you know, based on because they have certain due diligence that they have to conduct in order to meet, you know, certain parameters to move forward with business. So I've just been kind of floating these questions around. And, you know, some of those questions can't be answered firmly, or you're asked to send an email in or... So I still think there's still I think there's still a huge lack of clarity on the rule with the regulators themselves. So I look forward to seeing what's going to happen in the future with that, especially with the whole new, you know, that our most recent due diligence rule and, you know, the changes, of course, you know, there's public comments that have been made to the AI diffusion rule. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to come out of that. They did say that they're going through the comments right now and they're trying to work through those comments so that they can put out another correction. Right. So that'll be good to see.
Well, great, Julie. I know you want to run off to that reception. So anyway, thank you.
I'm so eager.
Thank you for joining. I will talk to you again tomorrow. So thank you for your insights.
Okay.
And yeah, have a good evening. Have fun.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks
a great
so much.
Day.
See you, Julie.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I think we have Jose with us now. Hi, Jose. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. How you doing? Doing well.
Doing well. I was really looking forward to getting your perspective on today's activities. But first, yesterday, you told us that this was your first time to DC. So I'm just wondering, you know, I've been there many, many times, as you know. It's at night, it's a beautiful place with all the lights and everything. Did you get a chance to get out last night and see anything? And what do you think of DC?
Yeah, I did, actually. We got to go to a couple of restaurants afterwards. As you know, some of the law firms host clients and whatnot. So we got to attend two of the events, all within walking distance from the hotel. And the weather right now, it's great here. And you saw it, a very, very lively town, actually. Everybody, it seemed like, you know, every few seconds you would see somebody jogging, you know, past you or near you. My manager, Karen, as you know, is based here. She was saying that once the sun comes up, people start moving around and, you know, trying to enjoy as much as they can. Right. Because the spring is kind of like the best time before it gets a little too warm. It's a lively town. The restaurants we went to were great. The second place we went to, we were being served by who mixed a non-alcoholic drink. And I really, really enjoyed it.
That's good. Good. All right. Well, hopefully you can get out some point and get a chance to see the cherry blossom, because I understand that they're almost ready to be full bloom. So hopefully you get to do that.
Right.
It's beautiful there. So I'm just curious, Jose, day two, it's come and gone, except for your reception tonight. But I'm just curious, yesterday there was a feeling from all three of you that things got off to a slow start and so on. I'm just curious today, how did it go? Was it a little bit better, moving a bit better, more information, or how did you do?
Yeah, much better. Today I thought, you know, they started off with a panel from representatives from METI, Japan's METI, Korea's MOTI, and the European Union Commission. That was just kind of more of kind of their perspective of how their countries are aligning with U.S.'s trade policies. And so they each spoke about how their policies align, and they are looking to collaborate and align with partner countries such as the U.S. on implementing export controls. So with that, I just thought the theme was mostly around the lines of the sanctions of Russia and Iran. That was tend to be the theme, but I was actually pleasantly surprised to see how much alignment there is already between those countries and some of our the U.S.'s controls. And so I found that interesting. They also mentioned the partnership in trade with the U.S. and just some of the numbers that they're providing were pretty impressive. So I enjoyed that quite a bit at the beginning. And, the breakout sessions that I attended for the first one was with the export control officers, the ECOs, and then went over the end use checks, and I found that interesting. They had folks that are based in Turkey, Dubai, New Delhi, Ottawa, and Helsinki, right? And so one thing that they mentioned was like these destinations are not chosen, at random. There's some thought behind it because these are, massive transshipment hubs, right? So that's where you're looking at potentially diversion risks and things like that. So no, it was interesting. They each gave their kind of like their region or country specific tools, like business registries, things like that you could potentially use for your due diligence. The theme there was also just enhance your due diligence within these regions simply because of just the diversion concerns and whatnot. So that was one of the breakout sessions. The other one was on the regulatory review, and caught Julie's comments at the end there as far as what she's looking to get. And for me, I was looking to get some insight from BIS with regards to the AI diffusion rule, right? So as you know, it won't be the compliance date for that. It's not until May of this year. So, a lot can happen, right? We're still about somewhat mid-March. And for us, something could happen in that area, right? As far as a change with regards to the priorities from the Trump administration, with regards to potentially making changes to it, whatnot. So that was my interest in that breakout session, and unfortunately they're pretty honest in that they mentioned that at this point they don't know what the direction will take as far as any proposed rules, any future regulatory action.
Yeah, I got the same basic sense from Julie. The folks that you're listening to that are presenting these breakouts and so on, it appears like they haven't been given the memo from above. That's what it sounds like. And so there is probably a very difficult position to be in because you got all these people wanting answers, right? Wanting to know what is the diffusion rule, and they can't really give it because they don't have that direction from above, which is because the players are all still coming on board. So I can see that could be frustrating if you were hoping to get some answers.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately, that, it's a bit disappointing because you come to these types of conferences for that level of insight, right? You're looking to at least help you guide as you prepare for upcoming changes, right? So, for example, with the AI diffusion rule, if it's gonna be changed or revised in one way or another, we would like to get that information as soon as possible. So if we need to pivot and change our approach as far as whatever controls we need to implement within our own processes and systems, it gives us that lead time, additional lead time as much as possible. So and it's again unfortunate that we didn't get that insight, but we just have to be patient.
Right. Yeah. Well, I understood that there was a session on export enforcement. And yesterday, I heard that there seemed to be kind of a focus on enforcement. Did that kind of carry through, and any ahas or anything that you heard or learned from the enforcement discussion?
I don't, as you mentioned in yesterday's plenary, there was that theme, but the plenary here, which was the closing session for today, was enforcement. So it was mostly OEE talking about how OE does things and, talking about their highlights, some of the statistics, like, they've added, over 330 entities to the entity list last year, 26 entities to the UPL and so forth. They conducted over 1,100 ECO checks and use checks last year, which was a record number. So it was mostly about what
who they are, what they do, how they do it. I didn't get much insight as far as, what they're focusing on for the future. And then, right. I feel like kind of to what you were saying, it's possible that they also waiting for that memo, right? As far as from the top, like what is going to be the priority? So for me, I think everybody's kind of on the same boat, just kind of waiting for the direction from the Trump administration.
Yeah. And if I recall, I don't think they've actually, I don't even know if they've identified yet the person that's going to run OEE. It was Matt Axelrod, who was really a wonderful friend of industry, and we always enjoyed it. For example, at RepTech, we had Matt come in. I don't know if they've actually identified, or if they have, I don't think the person has been confirmed. So that area is probably still, you're right, there's probably still a sense that we don't know exactly the direction yet. So anyway.
Yeah.
So Jose, whenever I've attended these events, one of the things that I have always found most valuable was all of the sidebars, because you got breaks and you're going into the big room and you see a person like four tables over you haven't seen in 3 years or 10 years, and they wave their hand, you go up there. And so there's a lot of that sort of, I always felt it was a little bit like, the annual reunion, So anyway, I'm just curious, have you had any of those sorts of moments where you've met somebody you didn't expect to meet, or something like that, where you found somebody?
Yeah, like I mentioned yesterday, I had seen some former colleagues here at the update, and I've been able to catch up here and there. Actually, one of the dinners I ran into an old colleague I work with back in my Symantec days, and so and I think you nailed it when you said like it was a kind of surprise. We kind of see each other like, hey, how's it going? It's just like you're here, you're like we're here, and you do those catch ups, and you're right, it's those little sidebars, right, sharing each other's pains and
a lot of commiserating.
Exactly. And then you try to do some the best practice sharing as well, right? Because you tend to end up using maybe some of the same systems, some of the same processes, or some of the same people, right? And so you do some of that knowledge sharing. So that's, to your point, it's really, really useful because you're seeing, how others in the industry are also kind of dealing as much as they can, as best as they can with the controls and the regulations. And also just catching up, right? Old friends, old colleagues, where you're asking about their careers, their families, just overall how they're doing. So that's great. I have also been seeing some folks that I've known in the past, but because I saw them from like across the hall or something, I haven't, I know they're here, but I haven't had a chance to like go and say hi. So there's still a few folks that I've seen that I want to go talk to and catch up. That'd be great as well.
Well, you got right after this, I think it's pretty quick here. They're going to start the networking reception. Yeah. So there's your opportunity to go mingle around. And I always found the reception was good in that sense that you met people that you haven't seen. But it's also a little bit strange because sometimes you don't meet anybody, so you're kind of wandering around. But anyway, I hope you have a good time with the set reception and meet some folks. And tomorrow we will meet one last time, and it'll be good to get the overall impression and anything else that you have to share. So thanks again, Jose, for spending some time out of your very busy day with this conference and giving us all an idea of what's going on. So thank you.
No, thank you for having me, Jess. This is really cool. Just to let you know, my wife already heard the first episode, and she is giving me a hard time about it. But no, y'all really just know. it was really good. She's already subscribed to your podcast, so there you go.
great. Well, that's good. Well, thanks again, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Have a good one, Jeff.
You bye too. Bye. Hey, Robert. Thank you again for joining us today on day two of this Ritner Reflections. Yesterday, we had a great discussion. I got a good idea of what's happening. How did today go from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think it went very well. I think a couple of the breakout sessions certainly had other agencies participate. So State showed up at least one of the sessions and some other interagency players. So that was nice. I thought the plenary session was excellent, the first starting off in the morning, particularly having the export control regime representatives of the EU, South Korea, and Japan.
So they, each one of them spoke to the whole audience, everybody, right?
Okay. They did. Each spoke. They both, you know, and there's kind of a, I'll say, universal theme that's been happening. And I think a lot of it has to do around emerging technologies, right? Seem to be high focus for all these regimes, including, of course, the United States. But there was, you know, continuous mention of, you know, advanced node ICs, additive manufacturing, quantum computing, and artificial intelligence as being kind of the priorities set right now. And so I've seen throughout the last 2 days that theme throughout many of the sessions and from, of course, is the regulators, but also now the I'll say a plurilateral or multilateral effort as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Jose mentioned this and he said something like he was surprised at how much they all seem on the same page already, the multilateral bunch.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, again, there's understanding that there's forces out there that are lending itself for cooperation. I noticed there was kind of a reference to there needs to be unification. There needs to be, there has to be common ground. Again, there are these concerns, especially escalation of emerging technologies and being in adversaries' hands. And of course, the commonality among that. Yeah. Countries like Korea, not only you know, have those concerns, they're surrounded by, they have North Korea as a concern, as well as China. So there's an emphasis to say, hey, we have other concerns like Iran and Russia like that, but we have neighbors we're directly concerned with. And certainly when it comes to emerging technologies, it's high on their list.
Yeah. One of the things that I would have been really interested in on this topic, Robert, is, you know, for many years now, we've been operating under Wassenaar. And we saw this last year that they had to go, because of the Russia situation, they had to go around and they called it this minus one and so on. And I know there's been a lot of agreements with different countries and so on. Do you get any sense that we might be moving to a replacement for Wassenaar, or do you think we're going to get an additional group of certain countries? Or did you get any insights into what might be happening from a multilateral perspective?
You know, what's interesting is the representative from Korea, Sungyul Kim is his name. He's actually the director general for the Ministry of Trade and Industry and Energy. He seemed to suggest that there needed to be, there was work to be done, but it should be done within the current regimes, as he called it. So which suggests to me that, hey, we have a framework to make these things happen. We should work within that framework.
Right, right. No, that makes sense. And that's, we'll see where that, how that goes, especially with this new administration, where we seem to be, if I would kind of diverge a little bit to tariffs, we seem to be creating, you know, enemies, if you will, or, you know.
Going it alone.
Yeah, exactly. And so I wonder if, you know, how that plays out.
Right, right. Yeah, I think there seemed to be a lot of, again, same message for this session, which was very good. And so, you know, again, I think they all seem to be on the same page, but, you know, we'll see if any of that changes. But I think it is important to understand that at least, and another thing about multilateral regimes, Japan had a little different take. The gentleman who represented Japan for METI, Katsuro Ogari, he said they monitor other regulations. So it seems like Japan, I think I've noticed this in other contexts, where they're kind of waiting. They look to see what others are doing before they act. But he brought that up more than once, that he said, well, we monitor what others are doing and, you know, whether monitoring actually enables it to actually be regulation or not. But but it seems like they're a little, and I think there have been instances where Japan, may not go along with everything. So, I thought it was an interesting comment to say they monitor. So whatever that
interesting.
Means.
Yeah, that is interesting. So one of the things I heard from both Julian and Jose was the people that are speaking, most of them are, I think if not all of them are non-politicos, right? They're the civil servant, they're the the professional person, and they all seem to be hesitant to provide answers, uncertain about what might happen coming from down from above and so on. Did you get that same sense in your breakouts and the people you met with, or a different sense?
You know, I don't, frankly, I don't know if it's any different than the other time with Biz, right? Yeah. Or I mean, any of the agencies in terms of necessarily transparency or issues, right? Hot topics of the day. Certainly there's a reluctance, and they do seem to suggest that they're, at least it's business as usual. They are processing licenses. They are, you know, doing these things. So they're not, they're not static, but yeah, I think, again, I think they're still looking for direction from the politicos who are not in place yet. So,
Okay. So we need to wait and see where things go from here. Yeah. Apparently Kevin Kurland did a talk. I think it was a plenary. And I'm really curious, Robert, you know, Kevin has been at BIS for a very long time. You know, most recently he worked on in the export enforcement side, and he's replacing basically Matt Borman. Just curious, did you get any nuggets, any insights from Kevin, you know, being that insider as to what might be happening, or was it the same sort of we're just carrying on going forward and so on?
The only thing, the only notes that I had taken with Kevin, because his comments were brief, it was more introductory to the rest of the panel to allow that time.
Okay.
And by the way, one of the other plenary members was, was an EU representative. I think I mentioned that. But he did stress, you know, aligning with the partners, common ground. Again, he mentioned quantum computing, advanced semiconductors, additive manufacturing. So he was kind of, you know, again, this theme of emerging technologies and here's our priorities. And
Okay. Great.
But so no maybe, nuggets, no extra nuggets in that.
No extra nuggets. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe just one last question for you, Robert. Any surprises, ahas, anything that you leave at this point with something you didn't expect?
It's something I didn't expect. But the gentleman who spoke, again, it was a lunch session, but it was from NIST.
Okay.
And he talked about NIST's role in setting these standards and working with companies to come with standards around AI, around quantum computing. So I didn't know there was this kind of, I mean, there have been for other things for NIST, but he just talked about how, again, it's a partnership that they're going to be responsible for setting many of these standards and, but working with industry as to what those standards are. So I thought that was very interesting. He also kind of broke down what quantum computing is in a way that for us novices made it, you know, easier to understand. But I just thought that conversation was very interesting. And in the role of NIST is going to play or NIST. In quantum computing development and AI.
Yeah, maybe that might be an avenue to go down with our RAPTAC open sessions to get somebody from NIST and IST to come in and share with us all what they're doing and how we might be able to partner and help. So might be an idea.
That was exactly what I was thinking. I thought, he'd be, you know, he'd be terrific to have. Speak on that and exactly, you know, role they play, what they expect from industry and how industry can, again, better partner with their effort.
Right. Great. Anything else that you want to share with us today before we shut this down?
You know, this session, I attended the space controls session and also AUKUS. What was nice about AUKUS was they did have a representative from the State Department, as well as, you know, the BIS folks. It was very, very constructive because they talked about, you know, the ITAR, starting with that, you know, starting with jurisdiction and working down from how you, if you're going to, you know, see if it's a subject ITAR and specially designed under that. And they kind of went through the steps of working through to see, you know, if it eventually is going to be subject to the AR. Same with the space controls. They did the same thing, starting with, you know, so it was very useful presentation. But the AUKUS one I thought was very interesting in terms of understanding you know, limitations, the restricted controls list, for example, that under ITAR that, you know, you can't, you know, it's one of those technologies, you can't use AUKUS. But like a lot of exemptions or license exceptions, they're encouraging people to use them. They did demonstrate the really reduction in the number of licenses and, you know, freeing up the time from their licensing officers by the implementation of this. There was also representatives from Australia on the AUKUS panel, as well as from UK. Yes, so they talked about the, you know, the implementing their regulations. It was within days, all three countries with Australia, UK, and US implementing the regulations, very similar controls. And now under their controls, deemed exports is actually defense services is part of that, which they didn't have before. I found that very, you know, interesting and timely for a lot, for a lot of companies.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's very, very, very much so. Okay. Anything else?
No, that the last open session plenary in the end was enforcement, but as an enforcement likes to joke around a lot and it's entertaining. I didn't see anything new coming out of that other than, you know, they threaten with more penalties and more enforcement, but limited resources. So to be determined.
See where that goes. Yeah, that's always a standard. Everybody has to, you have to hear from the enforcement folks. So, okay. Well, I again appreciate Robert you providing us with the details that you've given. Just it's very interesting. I think for our audience will be super useful since many people were not able to attend. So I'm going to go ahead and shut down here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We've had a wonderful discussion with Julie Witt, with Jose Vega, and with Robert Kearsley. We'll be back for day three tomorrow of Written Reflections. And at that time, we will wrap up and get our final thoughts of how it all went this week in Washington, D.C. So thank you for joining. Talk to you all soon.